We had a question, Sheikh from Muhammad, asking a very common and a very important question. He says his parents believe in things that are in clear opposition to Islam. They believe in visiting the graves, supplicating to these saints or people, righteous people who are dead in the graves, who are buried in the graves. And he says, when we try to explain to them that this is completely against the message of the Prophet ﷺ, they say to us, or they reply, that this belief of yours is going to lead you to the hellfire. So he's asking or seeking advice, how can we approach our parents? Because he seems to be, mashallah, very concerned for them.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabihi wa mustafa, thumma amma ba'd. As a matter of fact, this is one of the most common problems that Muslims face in the West. Why am I saying the West? Because many people, after they immigrate and they adhere to the Muslim society, and they abandon some of their cultural practices, which I always emphasize on the importance of separation between what's cultural and what's religious. Many people, unfortunately, they mix up the issues. And whatever is cultural is judged as religious. So that if your grandparents taught you to do this, then that's it. It's like a prophetic statement. And when I ask you to give me any reference that supports your view, a person would get very aggravated and angry. Like, how come you're asking me? I'm telling you my grandparents, my mom, my dad taught me so. Unfortunately, this is the same excuse and the same claim that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to face when the Meccans before Islam, every time he would approach them and he'd say, how can you do this? They say, هَكَذَا وَجَدْنَا أَبَأَنَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Don't try to change us. We have found our parents doing so. So we're just following their footsteps strictly. I don't understand. When one's parents did not have a car, why is he eager to buy a car? He should follow their footsteps as well and not drive a car and not have a nice luxurious house. Not install an AC unit in his apartment because his parents did not have so. When it comes to worldly affairs, there is a competition and say, my parents are backwarded. My grandparents were villagers. But when it comes to religious issues, they forget about Al-Bukhari, they forget about Muslim, they forget about the Quran. And comes number one in the first place, the statement of the parents and the foreparents and the cultural practices, even if they happen to be false. I remember one incident took place with me as I was giving Khutbatul Jum'ah once in one of the Islamic centers in the States. And I saw an amazing thing that people would just walk in, doctors, and they would start shaking hands while I was giving the khutbah, and how are you, how are you doing, how's everything, and chatting, inquiring about each other's health and so on. So I made a comment, the hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us that if we're attending Khutbatul Jum'ah, we should not utter a word. We should not even play with anything in the ground. And if a person hears another talking, so he says to him that be quiet, just saying be quiet, that is a vain talk, would affect the validity of his khutbah. So after I finished, some of them said, well, the Shaykh says so because this is his madhab, but our madhab is different. You may speak during the Jum'ah, which of course was shocking to me that I don't understand, since Allah had blessed me to study comparative madhahib, perhaps all the madhahib, where would I find that it's permissible to speak in the khutbah, unless if it is cultural practice, that in some areas the imam would ask the audience and they would chat with each other like a dars. So they apply that in everywhere they go. We say, hey, let's draw a line here. Let's draw a line here between what's false and reality. Reality is that we're having the strongest evidence, the everlasting document. We're having the Quran and the sound Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The brother is complaining that his parents visit the graves. Why not? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, I have prohibited you initially from visiting the graveyards. Now I'm commanding you to visit them. Why? It is very important to understand why it was prohibited. Now it has become a recommended act. He said, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْمَوْتِ. Since visiting the graves would remind you of death, would bring the concept of death into your mind so that you will be always attentive to that fact and this reality. So the purpose of visiting the graveyard is to receive an admonition. Is to imagine yourself one day next to this buried person, under the ground after you happen to be walking on top of it. That's it. What do we say upon entering the graveyard or passing by the graveyard of Muslims? The Prophet ﷺ did not accede to the following. He used to visit regularly Maqabir al-Baqiya, which many of the companions were buried there, and say, As-salamu alaykum dar qawm al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin. Peace be with you, the home of the believers and the Muslims. You're first, and soon we will join you. We ask Allah to pardon you and to pardon us. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ الْعَافِيَةِ. That's it. Not once was reported that he sat next to the grave of Khadija or his mother and he chatted with her. And said, Mom, I'm doing very well. Don't worry about me. And don't worry about the kitten. Everything is in place. No. Because those dead people, according to the rightly opinion, they cannot hear us. According to the rightly opinion, they cannot hear us. إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You cannot make the dead hear. Only in one incident during the Battle of Badr, Allah made the disbelievers who died in Badr hear the sound of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, but could not answer. When he asked them, did you find what Allah had promised true, come true? So the answer was yes, but the believers around the Prophet ﷺ could not hear that. Otherwise, the fact that whenever the person dies, his soul is either in heaven or in paradise, or in fire of hell. May Allah protect all of us and the believers. So to go to a dead person and ask from him, let me ask you this question. If this person was still alive, and you are in debt, and you needed $1 million, and you know that this person does not have 1 million penny, would you still go and ask of him to lend you $1 million? Obviously not. Because it is settled in your mind that that person does not have, does not possess, cannot help you. So you're saving your request. If the person while alive cannot help himself, cannot help no one, how could you expect the help from a person who's already dead? Listen to this. The Prophet ﷺ in the Sahih Hadith says, whenever the servant dies, all his deeds will discontinue, except from three ways. What deeds, O Messenger of Allah? The righteous deeds. The meter which counts the good deeds and the hasanat. So that person has become, is in need for us. We're not in need for him. He's waiting for a supplication from one of his children, from one of his relatives, from one of his students, one who read his book, one who drink from the water which he made as a gift for the people, the wayfarer. So they are in need for us, for our supplications, for our charities, not the other way around. The Prophet ﷺ himself asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him this request, not to make his grave an idol to be worshipped after him, after his death. إِذَا سَأَلْتُ, if you ever ask, don't ask from alive or dead, only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to state a very important statement here, which is that if you truly love Allah as you claim, prove this love. Prove it. The proof to this love lies in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad ﷺ, to your followers, if you truly love Allah, prove your love. How? Follow me. اتَّبِعُونِ. Then Allah would love you in return and would forgive you your sins. But to claim that you love Allah and you do otherwise, you do what displeases Him, you ignore His statement and you give precedence to the statement of your grandma or your grandpa, and however you don't listen to them in any worldly affairs, only in deen you stick to the false statements. We have to understand that this religion is taken by wahy, by revelation. And the revelation has been seized once the Prophet ﷺ died. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, took Umar ibn Khattab in his company and went to visit Barakah, may Allah be pleased with her. They found her crying. Why are you crying? Are you crying for the death of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? She said, no, wallahi, I'm not crying for that. I know that he's in a better place now. He's in a better place. Why should I cry for him if he's experiencing joy and happiness? He's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. So why are you crying? She said, because the wahi has been seized. It's over. There will not be any wahi no more. No one would receive any revelation. So since the wahi has been over and no revelation afterward, how could any person claim that that practice does work? Or if you do this, it does work. If it is not stated in the Quran nor in the Sunnah, then you're just telling plain lies. As far as how to deal with your family members who are still living somewhere where doing those practices, you would need a lot of patience to protect yourself and your family against fire. Those practices are agreed upon between the scholars. These are practices of shirk. You're associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Because don't you think that worship is just to pray Allahu Akbar, to fast during Ramadan? No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a, making du'a, seeking help, seeking protection, supplication, is ibadah, is the act of worship itself. So you can never pay to anyone else. Similarly, those people who are very poor in their mind, in their education, and whenever good news arrived to them or bad things that been removed away from them, right away they make a vow that I'm going to slaughter for such and such mullah or peer or righteous person. La ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. There is no God who's worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're commanded to give this sacrifice to Allah because He's the one who gives the protection and provides it. He's the one who protects and prevents from harm.